When I lead bird walks, people think I can name all the plants we come across. They, of course, only ask about plants they don't know, which raises the probability that I won't know them either. Fortunately, there's someone in every group who, when any question about plant or animal identification comes up, whips out their cell phone, snaps a picture, and identifies it via iNaturalist, Google Lens, or another app. This whole process arouses enough interest to distract the whole group, ending my public display of ignorance. Sometimes I take nice photos of butterflies, moths, dragons, or other insects, various plants, and other non-avian forms of wildlife. When I get home, I can look them up in Sparky Stensas' wonderful Northwoods Naturalist series of books if I took the picture around here. If not, I use those apps. Unfortunately, every single one of those apps, in the field or back at home, involves AI. I consider identifying plants and animals a wonderful use, helpful to so many people new to nature, as well as those of us who've spent a lifetime studying and celebrating it. But in terms of energy and water consumption at huge data centers, it's no different from other uses of AI, and no easier to find out exactly how much consumption is involved. Ironically, the water usage, carbon footprint, and pollution generated at data centers harms the very wildlife these apps are helping us identify. It took me a while to get good at using eBird, but now I use it whenever I go birding. eBird has an enormous database, but none of it involves AI. And using eBird in the field does not involve data centers right up until the moment we submit or share a checklist. Then our data is added to all the other data on the eBird servers, that is, the cloud. Many uses of technology are incredibly valuable, and eBird is a prime example. Sure, it's fun and useful for birders, but its value extends far, far beyond the hobby of listing, providing a huge, accurate body of information critical for bird conservation. Even more important, because birds are such incredibly useful indicators of environmental health, eBird's value extends to other forms of wildlife and to the health of habitats and ecosystems. The more gigantic eBird's database grows, the more valuable it becomes. And again, using eBird does not involve AI. Nevertheless, we must assess with clear eyes the environmental costs of any huge database accessed by over a million active eBird users before we can possibly determine ways of minimizing its environmental costs. Google Lens and iNaturalist, both AI-intensive, may be helpful for people trying to identify plants and animals, but when it comes specifically to birds, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Merlin is a much better choice. Developing it certainly involved AI, but no data center connection is required during our active use. The Sound ID runs on our devices without any network connection, and I'm virtually certain that Merlin's database is more accurate, with more active verifying of the database because of its ties to the Cornell lab, and Merlin generates data used by eBird, giving it a positive value beyond accurate identifications. So when it comes to bird identification, I never use Google Lens or iNaturalist. What Merlin is most used for by people now is real-time identification of bird sounds. In 2025, 11.6 million active users took advantage of Merlin's Sound ID feature. I've caught it in a few mistakes, but if it were being graded, its accuracy would earn it a strong A, and again, it doesn't involve AI. AI, like every single thing any human has ever made, has costs and benefits. There are genuine, sometimes massive, real-world benefits of some AI processes. But unless we reckon squarely with the environmental costs of this mushrooming technology, we cannot begin to work out ways of minimizing those costs and mitigating the damage. Attention must be paid. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.